We're continuing in our prayer course, our kind of prayer sessions on prayer. And this evening we are talking about the first topic that we talk about in this kind of Lord's Prayer series, which is adoration or praise. And so it's kind of taking that from that aspect of hallowed be your name. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The lifting up of Jesus and lifting up of God, and praising God for who he is or who she is and what she's done. Yeah, so this is what we're going to be talking about today, which is, I think, really interesting. An interesting way of thinking about prayer. And triangle. If you've probably come across this triangle before. If you've been part of any kind of church planting, missional outreach thing, this is a famous triangle. Often Bishop Justin I've seen him talk once without a triangle. This triangle, often in missional frameworks, we talk about a triangle up, in, and out. Normally in the context of this, in is kind of your team building, your internal connections of what your community looks like, your belonging, all those things. Out is what your outreach looks like, so your missional outreach, how we are serving others in our community, and up is how we are seeking God and all that. That's how the kind of things connect. So they all require each other. That's why it's a triangle. And Tim Keller classifies prayer into really similar categories to this, which is why I drew it up. It was not the missional communities thing. But he talks about inward prayer, upward prayer, and outward prayer. So in terms of inward prayer, he's talking about prayers for oneself. So we've talked about lamentation a lot here, although lamentation can also be somewhat outward. It's not, you know, clear-cut things. Prayer for oneself, inward looking, kind of introspective, examine, the practice of daily examine, so praying through your day. And then there's outward prayer, which is kind of this idea of praying for intercession, things to change, for miracles, for healing, those things, outward prayer. And then there's also upward prayer. And upward prayer is what we're talking about today, these practices of praise and these practices of adoration that point to God and say, God, you are good and you are who you are. And as a yeah, so he calls it praise and thanksgiving that focuses on God himself. We would call this the prayer of awe. And so this is what we're going to be talking about today. And my suspicion, and maybe I'm projecting slightly, is that I'm pretty good at the inward prayer stuff. I'm pretty good at the inward prayer stuff. I know I'm getting better at the outward prayer stuff, but I very seldom think about the upward prayer stuff. And my feeling is that in our community, that's probably true as a whole as well. That we're kind of better at the in, we know we can get better at the out, and we're good at the out sometimes, and then the up is kind of not really always there. And so this is really, I think, what I'm excited to talk about today, and we're going to practice some of that today, and kind of work on it like a muscle, like, you know, at the gym when you need to. And so how the evening's going to go is we're going to watch an extract, it's about a 5-minute extract of the part of the Pete Greig video, Pete Greig describing adoration. And then I'm going to give 3 points, because I have to when I'm up here, 3 points of what I think adoration looks like. And we don't have sung worship tonight, but as a practice of, and sung worship is an awesome space of adoration, like that's an awesome space where we are able to do that and praise God for who God is. But what we're going to do is we're going to have some pieces of paper for people to respond as they wish, and in adoration and praise, and just kind of practice those muscles, flex those muscles a bit tonight. I kind of wish we did this on a night that was brighter. But, you know, we've got what we have. We can turn it brighter and we'll get to keep our sunglasses on, which is so crack up right now. Anyway, we're going to play the video and then, we'll get back to this. All good?
Find myself kind of delving into the just asking God for stuff on my list kind of prayer.
Right. And look, obviously, if you're in an aeroplane and it's about to hit the ground, you don't need to put on a Tim Hughes CD or something like that. It's really okay just to scream, help. But when we're talking about developing a disciplined, deepening prayer life, in our own personal quiet times or in church prayer meetings, it's a good idea to start with adoration. It's like, the telescope here, it's easy to spend most of our lives just staring through a microscope, kind of obsessing about ourselves and our own little concerns and how we're feeling and what we're thinking. But there's a really, really big world out there and a very big God who made the cosmos. And I think when we worship, it's a bit like we swap the microscope for the telescope. It changes everything. So when you stare up at the stars at night, anyone who's not completely weird worships. No one stares up at the stars and thinks, aren't I amazing? Right. You get lost in something bigger than who you are. And Jesus tells us to start prayer with that attitude, remembering that God is God, that he's holy, that he's our Father in heaven, that he loves us, and not just to kind of like fill our shopping carts with requests and ram them against heaven's gates. That's not really prayer, because this is relational, not transactional. God isn't just some big slot machine in the sky waiting for us to, you know, put in our prayers to get an answer.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot like when our two boys were quite little and I'd just finished writing one of the books. I was exhausted and I knew exactly what I wanted to do. There was a pub at the time near our house that had two vital ingredients that I'd been thinking about. One was a big leather sofa. I just wanted to zonk out in that sofa. And the other was swings and slides for the kids. So we arrived there and I said to the boys, you know, go forth, behold, the Lord has provided. Take as long as you want. And I just collapsed into the sofa. And the boys ran towards the door, and I saw one of them go out to the door, and I could see through the window. He ran towards the swings and the slide. But the other one got to the door, and he watched his brother, and then he looked back, and he walked back towards me really slowly. And I thought, well, you know, what does he want? And he looked up at me, and he just, these big eyes, he just said this thing that sucked the air out of the room. He said, Daddy, I missed you. And climbed into my arms, put his arms around my neck, and he just stayed there for a long time, just breathing in time with his dad. And at that moment, he didn't become more my son than the one outside on the swings, right?
Right.
And I didn't start to love him more than the other one, but I can't tell you how much his act of unnecessary affection ministered to my weary father's heart.
Right.
And I think that maybe is a little bit of a picture of adoration. It's this coming to the Father not to get something from him, but to give our love and our affection to him. It's kind of about being rather than doing. And so this is an understanding that prayer is primarily about intimacy and presence. In fact, the Book of Common Prayer that was written in 1662 says, this is a great definition of adoration. It says, adoration is the lifting of the heart and the mind to God, asking nothing but to enjoy God's presence. This is the enjoyable bit of prayer. Prayer is meant to be enjoyable. C.S. Lewis,
yes,
right, Narnia Chronicles and all of that, he said, in commanding us to glorify God, and we sometimes think, what, you know, what is God an egomaniac? Why does he want us to worship him? He says this, in commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us, get this, to enjoy him.
Wow.
It's enjoyable to look through that telescope and contemplate the greatness of the world that God has made.
Yeah, so, you know, you want more of the videos online, but also it'd be really cool to do it together as a crew. Yeah, I was picking up from where that video left off. I think I'm really struck by that last bit, and when I watched it for the first time, I was really struck by this idea that as we kind of worship and adore God, that there is a sense that we are enjoying God. But yeah, like when we worship God, we derive some sort of joy from God, that we when we enjoy his presence. And I think that's awesome. Like I want more of God's joy. I don't know about you guys, I want more of God's joy. Holly and I just were at Easter camp, Presbyterian Easter camp, Anyway, Easter camp last week, and I was just like, we were really struck by the joy that was in that space, and a little bit more of that, and being like, how do we bring that back to the spaces we're in as well? The joy of the Lord that is, you know, really a part of us, and I think this adoration aspect is really part of it. You know, we spent the last wee while talking about suffering and tough stuff, and, you know, pressed but not crushed and whatnot, but it's also really awesome to hold that alongside joy, and the joy of our community, and the joy of what God offers us. And if adoration and worship is some sort of form of enjoyment of God, then that's something I want to do as well. And I one of the things was trying to work out what that means to enjoy God, how worship and adoration is the enjoyment of God. And I went back to C.S. Lewis, and he wrote this really beautiful thing. And I'll read it out, and I'll explain it if we don't get it. He writes this. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy, because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. So it completes the enjoyment. And it's an appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling each other how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it's expressed. It is frustrating to have discovered a new author and not to be able to tell anyone how good he is. I know that one. To come suddenly at a turn of the road and come upon a mountain valley of unexpected grandeur and then have to keep silent because the people with you care not about, no more than for a tin can in the ditch. I don't really understand one. Or to hear a good joke and find no one to share it with. There's an idea here that like when we express these things, when we express wonder to each other, and we express kind of acknowledge that, that's the fulfillment and the completion of our joy. That like when you tell someone you love them, it's or you think they're, you know, beautiful, whatever that is, like that is a completion, that's a consummation of that joy. And I'm thinking about this on the drive back yesterday. Holly and I went up to Arthur. Arthur, my godson, he's 2, yes, as of Friday, which was awesome. And so we drove out to Masterton to see him. I was saying to Josie, they had a bouncy castle. I came in, I was like, I didn't know anything about this party. So it turned out it was a bouncy castle, a huge bouncy castle. And I was like, how many kids are coming to this? I was like, 4 kids, but a huge bouncy castle. I was like, so impressive party. It was like a master's bouncy castle. Anyway, Holly and I, really wanted to get him a gift for his second birthday. We bought him like a ton of books before because it was kind of like we wanted to be the book godparents kind of situation. But this time, last time we went up, we found out that he really loves the vacuum cleaner. Just loves the vacuum cleaner, and he doesn't want to leave it. Like, and so we were leaving the house, I'd be like, okay, Arthur, it's time to say bye-bye to the vacuum cleaner. He's like slowly closing the door, bye-bye vacuum cleaner, slowly closing it. And so. And so what I did, what we did on the way up here was, I was like, I don't know, before this week, I was like, I wonder if the toy vacuum cleaners, and there are so many, I wish I planned for the slide of that. There's one that looks exactly like a Dyson vacuum cleaner, it's amazing. But anyway, so for his birthday, we bought him a toy vacuum cleaner, which actually kind of sucks up dirt, insane. Like, it's got confetti in the little thing. But I was so excited, I knew he'd love this thing, right? But because there's heaps of other kids around, we couldn't open the gifts at the start. You know, 2-year-olds kind of don't really have this idea of personal property yet. And so I was, to be honest, I was more excited. I just like the whole day, I'm like, I'm waiting for Arthur to open his gift. Because it's a fulfillment of my enjoyment, right? Like, I know it sounds like kind of really like egotistical to think that, but it's true. Like, I enjoy it when Arthur, it's kind of like playing a prank on someone and you're not seeing the end results. Like, what's the point of doing it? You know, like, no one gets the joy from that. You know, like it's the joy you derive from it. It comes from this fulfillment. And I think that's kind of a little bit of what adoration and worship looks like for us. That we do experience God and the experience of God's joy through our lives. But these kind of practices of gratitude is one of those practices of adoration of who God is. It's the consummation is what it says. The fulfillment of this joy that we derive from the Lord. So point one is this, that we praise and adore God so that we may be able to enjoy her. We praise and adore God so that we may be able to enjoy her. The second point follows from Pete Gregg's telescope example. This idea that, you know, when we look up at the stars, it's really hard to think how big I am, which I think is a really awesome idea, concept. Like, and we realize how small we are in the scope of the universe God has created. And I think this is true for all of nature, all of creation. A couple of years ago, part of, you know, working at Blueprint taught me a lot of things, but one of the main things Rose taught me was how to tell when the seasons are happening. I come from a country that, you know, we didn't really have but 2 seasons, rainy and not rainy, and it was kind of obvious when those seasons were happening. I was like, oh, trees, whatever. But there's actually something beautiful in understanding how the seasons turn and the bigness of the cyclical nature of nature and how that is so much bigger than ourselves, right? Things go on and things will change and daylight saving, which is a dumb thing anyway, but kind of comes into this idea. I proposed to Holly during a stargazing tour. I don't know if people know this, some people do, some people didn't. And during that tour, we learned about a star called Betelgeuse, spelled Betelgeuse, which just doesn't look like you pronounce it as Betelgeuse. Anyway, it's a star called Betelgeuse. We don't only say it 3 times, say, and then comes up. That's a niche reference. Anyway, Betelgeuse is in the sky. It's kind of flickering. And some astronomers have suggested that the that Betelgeuse is actually like already dead. That Betelgeuse is like kind of an exploded star. It's gone. But because of how far it is, the light is still reaching us. And like only in like a few thousand years or whatever, then we'll finally realize whether the star is gone or not. it's like thinking about the expanse of the universe recontextualizes who we are and God's creation. Not to say that, you know, like if you've got stuff that's hard and that stuff that's kind of weighing a thing, it's not like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, your problems don't matter because we're really small in God's creation. But almost more so that God cares about our problems. Like even more so, there's a beauty in the idea of these things. Like the idea that when I was proposing to Holly, we were this small moment of special moment in the kind of vastness of what creation looked like, and those things still matter. And I think there's some beauty in that. But it's also beautiful to recontextualize this, right? Like recontextualize this thing. And this is a really ancient thing, right? People have looked up the stars for centuries and centuries and centuries. Even us, and said this, how awesome is our God, how awesome is our Creator. Psalm 147 writes, He determines the number of stars in the sky and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord, mighty in power, His understanding has no limit. And so point two is this, praise and adoration is the recontextualization, is recontextualizing how big God is. Or praise and adoration recontextualizes us in the bigness of God. Yeah, so not wanting to brush off this idea of our problems, like kind of first world problems kind of idea, but instead it's helpful to have the proper perspective of what these things are. I'm going to try something new. It's a sports analogy. I know this will ring true for so many of us here. If anyone has played sports before, did I put it over here? If anyone has played sports before, I might be entirely off here, so just as you would probably tell me that this doesn't actually happen. But when I play sport and I'm really stressed, I get into this point where I'm like really hyped, like really focused on what I'm doing. And I kind of like, I make heaps of mistakes in that moment because I'm really, I kind of miss the wood for the trees in a sense. And it requires sometimes for me to stop, take a big breath in, look up, especially in a team sport, look up and look out of the kind of looking down aspect. Like I can literally feel my body kind of form in from all the sports I've played. I didn't play a lot, I just wasn't very good at them. Kind of like, and kind of look up and look at what the context, the wider context of what things are. See, I think adoration gives us a perspective and the ability to look up and see things for what they are and see ourselves for what we are in the context of God and recognize even then the bigness of God to care about all of creation, you know, Betelgeuse, R.I.P., and ourselves, right? Like, and ourselves, right? And so finally, so that's my second point. Praise and adoration recontextualizes us in the bigness of God. And my final point is this, adoration reorders our hearts. Adoration reorders our hearts. When I'm in prayer, and it's been pretty constant for the last, like, 5 years, when I'm in prayer and I am worried or I'm down, I always come back to the one phrase in the Psalms that writes, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. This phrase reminds us the proper ordering of our hearts, that God is God and I am me, and that and in the act of praise and act of adoration of who God is, we lift him up to the proper place of where God is in our hearts. Because if idolatry is loving something more than loving God, I think it's a bit reductionist, but like if it's putting God in place of giving our adoration to something else other than God, then adoration of God is the repurposing, the reordering of our lives again to what that is. Adoration is an act of centering and an act of beginning our prayers with adoration. When I was taught to give a mihi, and I know like this is like different in different contexts. When I saw the mihi, kote mihi tu tahi kite atua rumarawa, right? Like the first greeting that I learned was always to greet God first, right? Like there's obviously an aspect of ordering and an aspect of remembering what is important to us and who we are, and then everything else that follows as well kind of gives an ordering of what we have. And we talk about repentance. If we talk about repentance as this reorientation, this does the same thing. I think adoration does a similar thing. It forces us to recontextualize, to turn from our idolatry and recognize for God as who we are, God above all of our stuff, all of us, and God who cares for all of us and all of everything, really. I think it's a powerful thing. So yeah, that's my yarn. Hopefully it's a little bit helpful. I just think that it's such an awesome concept to delve into, because it's not a concept, not a thing that I've, like, it's something that I've tried to do, but never really thought about, like, oh, why do I do this? Why, like, and I think, you know, Pete Gregg has a really cool line, which is like, why is God, like, he's like, the kind of question we have, right? Why is God such an egomaniac that we need to tell God things that he already knows about himself? Like, half the Bible, like, you see the prayers in the later, they're like, you know, thank you, God, and you are so great, that you sent your son to die for us. Like, and God's like, yeah, I know, that's why I was there, you know, I saw that too. But there's a level to which this is actually for us, right? Really, like, this is for us and our, like, relationship. And again, like what Pete says, is not transactional, it's relational, yeah? So as we enter a time of worship tonight, I'm going to play some music, and there's a piece of paper here, bits of paper. My invitation is multiple-fold. You can kind of choose whatever, choose your path, pick a path, what you want to do. You can write a prayer of adoration, just writing about, yeah, how great God is, reflecting on God's nature and who he is. Oh yeah, good point. One thing to note is that obviously these up in and out things often happen in the same prayer. Like, the Lord's Prayer is a really good example of this. So it's not like I'm saying, like, you only have to do up kind of situation. But as we do it tonight, maybe it's just kind of an invitation to lean heavier into that as we kind of, you know, work that muscle. Really turning a corner. His sports ministry is next. So write a prayer of adoration, kind of free form, whatever you want to do. That's awesome if that's kind of up for you. If you want to draw something, I've heard people connect to God through drawing. Not me, but you know, other people may. So you're very welcome to do that. Draw something that lifts this adoration to you, God. If this is kind of like these two too creative for you, that's all good. You can read a psalm of praise or write out a psalm of praise. The psalms are you know. I think Peter, someone is like, kind of like, it's Jesus' prayer book, right? Like, Jesus prayed the Psalms, and this is what we also have available to us. And so, some Psalms that you could write, Psalm 33, Psalm 98, Psalm 145, these are awesome Psalms of praise and worship to God, and there's heaps more, just Google Psalms of praise. Yeah, or read one quietly, or just sit and know who God is and remind ourselves to be still and know that that God is God and we are us. I'll pray before we do that. Jesus, we thank you that you are bigger than we can even imagine. That you know the stars by name. You know each of us by name. And you know, thank you, Lord, for your gift of freedom, of restoration, of what the Easter story is, we coming out of that space. Thank you, Lord, for what that means to all of creation, the restoring work of your hand. And so, Lord Jesus, we lift these things to you, these prayers of adoration to you. Give us the joy. Allow us to enjoy you, Lord. And allow us to enjoy the fulfillment of what it is to be in relationship with you. Amen.